Just want to ask you a simple question as we get started this morning. You see, some of you got hungry when you looked up here, okay? I want to ask you, are you malnourished or are you feeding yourself for growth? Malnourished or nutrient laden? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read in the New King James. I'm also going to read in the ESV. And I think you'll understand because I think that some of us are learning about Scripture. We're learning about, oh yeah, good job, Bo. See? It's doing all kinds of things. What we're learning is we're learning that with the different versions. Some of you, you've been exposed to critics that have said, well, there's all these in, you know, these comparisons and inequities and things like that. And yet, one of the reasons what we're doing when we're looking at the different versions is trying to help you understand that if you look at the Greek language is such a broader, more amazing, descriptive language than English. So you can use a Greek word and it just means these incredible things and it has all this gusto to it. And then we have an English word that's like this. So sometimes we're trying to take the Greek and put it into English. And so that's why you can use different words and you need to learn that it doesn't mean that there's a problem. It means that there's beautiful ways of saying the same thing with our English language. Let's look at verse 1 through 3 in the New King James. Therefore, laying aside all malice, laying aside, doesn't mean this. You know, like you got something and you just kind of drop it along the way. It's like, get the whole idea of chunking something. Like, let's get rid of it. Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now we're going to read in the ESV. So put away, same thing, put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If we consider the previous verses in chapter 1, what we talked about last week, and last week we just talked about how the resurrection transforms ordinary people like you and I, when we look at verses 22 through 25 of chapter 1, our obedience to the truth of God, it purifies our souls, and that creates this process of a brotherly love. And then we can earnestly learn to love one another from a pure heart because of the living and abiding word of God. The word of the Lord abides forever. This good news was proclaimed and is still being proclaimed today. And so one of the things that we want to go back to and think about that is we're still reveling in the resurrection last week, this week, and the rest of our lives moving forward, because it is the very foundation of what we believe. In response to this truth, we're presented with an analogy of an infant longing for the milk from a nursing mother. Beautiful picture. Then we have the idea that of health and growth, followed by the idea of experiencing something with your taste. Now, I was trying to connect the first verse to the other two verses, and I'm not going to lie to you. If you're like me, there's a lot of times where I read the scripture, and I may read it once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And I'm trying to put the piece together. I'm like, God, I need your help with this. So our study team, while we were studying, the word malnourished was thrown out. I was like, okay, wow. I started thinking about that. Then I read one of the authors, and I heard the word again, and it really began to resonate inside of me, and I began to look at this first verse through the lens of verse 2 and 3. Then think about it. It hit me. These things in verse 1 are issues of the heart and soul that can proceed from the mouth, and they're not proper spiritual food. These qualities that we're reading about in verse 1, think about it. They affect our spiritual nutrition. These things keep us from being healthy and growing up in Christ Jesus our Lord. Maybe someone here today was wondering why they just can't seem to find the path of spiritual nutrition, health, and growth. It may be because you are spiritually malnourished because of your intake of junk food. I'm not talking about an occasional snack. I'm talking about if this is all you have as your intake, it is going to affect your health, your growth, and your nutrient level. That nutrition, those vitamins and minerals, those things that you need to have a healthy body. And so I want you to think about verse 1 from the standpoint of just having junk food only as your intake. Think about this. So let's look at what does it mean, all malice. In the English, it gives the idea of wanting to harm someone. So when you hear somebody's got malice toward you, you don't expect a hug and a kiss unless you're waiting for the knife to come in the back. I mean, because you naturally equate that to someone wanting to harm you. But in the Greek, it's a much broader meaning of sin, referring to general wickedness and baseness. So it's much broader. It's just got this, when it says all malice, it's just talking about this baseline, this foundation of all kinds of wickedness and baseness. Now, when we go to the word all deceit, in the Greek, it literally means bait or fish hook. So it's a fishing term. The use of the word denotes guile, dishonesty, falsehood, and treachery. When we read the word all deceit, it gives this idea of dishonesty and guile. Now, we go to the word hypocrisy. The Greek word originally identified an actor who wore a mask. I don't know about you, but I've had enough church hypocrisy to last me the rest of my life. People give me Bible verses, bad attitudes, a lot of stuff. So listen to what this word describes. Any behavior that is not genuine or consistent with what one believes or says he believes. It refers to spiritual insincerity and pretense. And I just want to mention to you that as a spiritual leader in this group, every single week, and I literally mean every single week, I'm having these kind of conversations with men, women, boys, and girls across multiple counties. And I'm trying to get people to readjust their dial and really understand where I'm coming from. What I'm looking for is not, well, you know, I'm looking for BS over here, which is baby steps. This other BS, like I said, I've had enough of that to last me the rest of my life. And I'm constantly trying to encourage people. I'm not concerned about your image and your presentation with me. What I'm looking for, you can tell me anything that you feel like you need to tell me. All the bad stuff you've done, and I'm going to hug you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to embrace you, and I'm going to walk life with you, because it's not about us keeping score. It's about us trying to learn how to take this image mask off and stop trying to act like we've got this whole external presentation, and us just learn to be raw and real with each other so that we can begin to experience being the loving, graceful, kind group of people toward one another, not the stone-throwing, judgmental hypocrisy. Let's move on. Envy. The Greek word defines the attitude of those who resent others' prosperity. Resent other people's prosperity. It often leads to grudges, bitterness, hatred, and conflict. Church envy between leaders is what has, is what has marked a lot of church competitiveness and recognition branding struggles in our nation. It's not supposed to be that way. It says all slander. This is a Greek word designed to sound like whispers and tattles reported behind someone's back and gossiping and backbiting. What are you saying? Nothing. See, you thought that stopped in third grade. But I know 50, 60, 70-year-old adults still doing the same old thing with slander. It essentially refers to defamation of character. Notice the use of the word all. It's used three times in this passage. It's intended to create emphasis on totality. So don't get rid of a little deceit. Don't get rid of some of a little bit of this, a little bit. No, totality. Get it all out. Get it out. Why? There's a reason. The sad thing about a group of people that are all lacking proper nutrition is it becomes normal. So you think about these junk food attributes that are going to affect our spiritual health, our spiritual nutrition. We just talked about it. Think about this. If everyone is eating junk food, then it's normal. Then it becomes the standard or the ordinary way of life. Now, I'm going to just tell you that this morning, I saw my Sheetz at 7:20 this morning. A lot of this stuff I picked up at Sheetz. I thought, 7:20 in the morning, I'm going to be in the Sheetz aisle. I'm going to grab a couple things. I'm standing there trying to figure out what type of preservatives am I going to buy? And while I'm standing there, men are literally walking by me, grabbing a bag of chips, grabbing candy, grabbing all the stuff that I'm going to bring and use for an illustration. And I'm just standing there laughing at myself like, oh my goodness, this must be breakfast. Big bag of fiery Doritos. I'm not saying I wasn't tempted. I'm just saying, I'm like, the breakfast of champions here. And guys are lining up. And the point that I'm trying to make is these things become normal. And they affect us. If you take an inventory of our culture, it really appears that malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander have become a normal part of our lives and are especially highlighted by so many social media posts. We are so used to this spiritual junk food that many of us don't really even pay attention anymore. Even within the church. One pastor throwing stones at another. One spiritual leader slandering another. Political opponents. It's almost like if you don't have a nasty, defaming, gossiping, word-mongering campaign, you can't get people's attention. It's just so normal. We've evaluated what Peter presents regarding the things that make us spiritually malnourished. And I'm just saying, there's probably somebody here this morning that you're wondering why you can't get traction and why you can't gain spiritual vitality. It's because you are feeding on spiritual junk and you're spiritually malnourished. So let's consider some pure nourishment. Believers need God's truth just like a baby needs milk for nourishment and growth. Peter uses specific language in this passage to make it even more impactful. And I hope that some of you will get some new perspective on this, because when it's talking about a baby, literally the Greek language and what Peter's saying here is he's literally talking about a freshly born new infant that just came from the womb and has gone from a water experience to now is breathing air for the first time, and that baby, in connection and experience, is longing for the mother's milk. It's immediate, connective, desiring. He wants you to get this beautiful picture. This hunger of the newborn for nourishment and connection directly illustrates how believers should desire God's truth, God's word, or God's input in their lives for spiritual nourishment. Now, Notice the term long for or desire, which indicates a craving, this craving for pure spiritual milk. Pure means unadulterated and uncontaminated. Now, I just want to offer a word of warning and spiritual guardianship for you right now. And I hope you'll understand my heart, not just my words. We are constantly encouraging people to take baby steps. And a lot of times in spiritual growth and maturity, beginning to listen to podcasts, beginning to listen to people, it's super important. Please don't take this in the wrong way. But one of the things that I think is super important is that we can't focus so much on what other people say about the word that we are not becoming people of the word ourselves. And I constantly encourage people to listen to podcasts. I want people to take baby steps. But at some point, there's going to have to be a transition in your spiritual maturity to where that you begin to dive in and believe that you can open up the word of God and you can get rich spiritual milk on your own. Now, I want to give you this illustration. I want you to look up here. Ladies, can I just say, I'm so thankful for you. Praise God that he's created you the way that you are and that you are gifted with a nurturing, just everything. I'm just so thankful for you. And you'll see why in just a minute. This bottle is filled with sweet tea. A lot of men are like, yep, I give that to them. What's the problem? True story. Dad gives sweet tea, trying to win the kids over. So much so that this sweetness tastes so good, but this has absolutely no nutritional value for building strong bones to where that the child no longer enjoys milk, which is what the young child should be having for growth and for maturity. Some of you this morning, you're so addicted to the sweet tasting, immediate rush things that it's difficult for you to know what pure, spiritual, beautiful, nourishing milk tastes like. Are you tracking with me? Big difference. And a lot of pastors out there today have done this. Oh, tickle my ear. Oh, that sugar's so good. Oh my gosh. Pastor Tim, he's kind of harsh. He's kind of rough around the edges. You don't care about my feelings sometimes. Yeah, I do, but I don't. I do. You know what I'm saying? No nutritional value. Some of you are going like, that's not true, man. I eat my burger. I have one of these. I'm good. You see the difference between the two? Think about this. Super important. The living and enduring word of God is the best spiritual nourishment. What's important is not what Tim says, but what does the Lord say? This is what the Lord says. That's why I'm trying to do my best. We're trying to go to the scripture. We're trying to break apart the scripture. We're trying to study things together. But it's the Holy Spirit and you with the living word of God that's going to be transformational. The reason for proper spiritual nourishment, what is the point here? We've already talked about it. It's growth. We're supposed to be changing, transforming, growing, moving forward, moving ahead, or becoming different along the way. Whatever term you want to use, whatever analogy, the term, whatever term resonates in you, we are to experience spiritual growth. In the same way that we have experienced physical growth, emotional growth, and mental growth, we should be growing spiritually. But we don't mature properly on spiritual junk food. We don't get proper spiritual nutrition if we only get things that are sweet to our taste buds, but lack proper ingredients for good health. The ESV uses a phrase that many other versions use, but it's not used in the New King James. That if by it you may grow up into salvation. That phrase is left out. It's not that it's a bad thing that it's omitted, because the whole passage infers this. But I want to read that the NLT gives us a wording that I think helps us get our hands around the concept of what the ESV and many other versions are saying. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. I want to say this, and some of you, you come from some mainline churches where you may have been given a false view of what salvation is. I know this is a sensitive subject for some, but please hear me. Hear my heart. Salvation is not a one-time experience, but rather the evidence of a growing, changing relationship with Father through the blood of Jesus revealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 creates a challenge for many denominations that teach, I'm going to use the term, once saved, always saved. Because what I mean by that is it's like some of us have been exposed to teaching that it's like, we are, a big ticket is waved to us, and it's like, do you want to go to heaven? So then you get your ticket punched by saying, I just asked Jesus to jump into my heart, and then you put your ticket back here, and you go on and live your life with this false confidence that I got my ticket punched, and that's it. On board, you just pull it out, doesn't matter what's going on. No matter what, and I'm not talking about God's power to save us in spite of ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that many of us have this false view of our relationship with God. Think about this. A few versions interpret the beginning of the verse 3 with the English word now, but the majority of the versions use the English word if. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious or good or kind. The Greek word in this phrase for tasting means to taste, i.e. to perceive the flavor of, partake of, enjoy. It is equivalent of to feel, make a trial of, or to experience. There must be a regular, holy evaluation process of one's spiritual life. There must be an honest evaluation of our maturity and our actual experiences with God. If we have genuinely tasted, are we still ingesting? So, I asked Donnell to help me out with this. Donnell, do you want to come up here? So, I got this amazing smoothie up here. And I want you to just follow along with me for just a minute. So as Donnell is holding this, and as she made this for me this morning, well, whenever you made it, sorry, but it's for us to use this morning. This is what I believe that a lot of us in church, because of church expectation, that what we do is we look at the smoothie. Oh man, check that out. That looks good. You know, I like that color better than dark green. Dark green scares me. Okay, that looks, sorry, babe. Anyway, wow, that looks good. And then we got a couple pictures up there. You can see where it came from. I can read the ingredients. Strawberries, blackberries, raspberries. I'm already hooked in because I'm a berry guy. If you don't like berries, she can make something else for you. Banana, ginger, turmeric, ground flaxseed, coconut water, and elderberry tea. So we can list the ingredients, and we can fact out the strength of each one of these ingredients and why they're important to the body, and we can have all this information in our heads. And this is the problem that I have with a lot of our church experiences, is it becomes about head knowledge. It becomes about what we're evaluating, when the reality is what Peter's talking about is this experiential interaction. Are you tasting and are you ingesting?
Good.
Is it good? I'm not going to lie. It looks good. This is first. Man, that is good. It looked good. Then when I put it in my mouth and I ingested it and it went in, and I still got that, I love berries. So I got that like berry crunch thing going on. Whatever that was, they're hanging around. Is that flaxseed?
I think that's from the raspberry.
From the raspberry? I don't know, but I like that. It's like that aftertaste. It keeps on giving. I'm not evaluating. I'm not like knowing all the ingredients. I put it into my mouth and I ingested it and made it part of me. And I'm like, whoa, that was good. Now, I'm going to show you the difference. Years ago, when I was running Wide Open, we were doing camping ministry. I used to down this stuff like water. Matter of fact, I didn't like the taste of water. And we were rolling nonstop morning to evening. Sometimes not this size bottle, but a regular bottle. I would do 5 to 7 of these babies in a day. You see this body? This body was not made to carry 235 and 240 pounds. Mm-hmm. Don't get offended at me. I'm just telling you my story. All right? Some of you, you're mad at me already just because I got this up here. You're going to be okay. Because what I'm trying to say is, at that point in my life, this was my normal. And I kept pumping this stuff into me to keep me going. And then when I stopped drinking this and I started drinking water, guess what happened? My taste buds began to change and my body cravings began to change. I'm just talking about on a physical level. But on a spiritual level, which one of those is mine? Not that it matters now, anyway. Some of you are being like, oh my word, I can't believe you put that straw in there. Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. That's really good. Wow, I like that. Think with me for just a minute. The visual image, the pictures, all the ingredients, all that information is worthless without ingesting it and the experience of taste, taking it into my system. It's the experience of tasting, partaking, and enjoying that actually changes us spiritually, not just physically, but on a spiritual level. It's not a one-time experience, but rather an ongoing pursuit for growth and change. And I know that we're all on different levels. I know that but at some point, there were several people here last service that kept going through my mind. Their names were going through my mind. People that in their 40s and 50s, they had a foundation laid within the church, but they walked away from Jesus. In the last 2 or 3 years, they've come back to him. That's what I'm talking about, is that there at some point, there's going to have to be this response mechanism to actually what is going on. And I want to read this to you. I want you to think about this. Well, let me read Psalm 34, verse 8. I'm going to jump back and forth. I believe that Peter's referring to the psalmist here in Psalm 34. And in verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." You got to taste personally. You've got to ingest personally. Paul proclaimed in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, a similar truth, because both Peter and Paul had truly tasted the goodness, the kindness, the graciousness, and the forgiveness of our Lord. This is what he says in verse 7 of chapter 3. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Paul is making a very profound statement here. He's saying all these things, I'm counting them as garbage, as rubbish. Now he's walking around like, "Oh, I've had such a rough life for Jesus, and I've had to pay such a price, and oh, have pity on me." He's saying, no, I want you to understand that I have willingly laid all these things aside because the excellence of what I am tasting, the excellence of what I'm experiencing, the excellence of what is going on inside of me, makes all these other things seem like garbage. Taste and see that the Lord is good, comparing to these other things. And then along with that, what I want you to think about is what he said chapters before in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and I mentioned this earlier. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. They had an experiential understanding of knowing God through Jesus by grace through their faith response. So when it says that you will grow into your salvation, I just want to encourage you with this. For me, I have been growing into my salvation since I was 17. Have I made a lot of mistakes? Have I sinned? Have I misunderstood? Have I been distracted? Have I walked away? Absolutely. But think about my position before God. I was saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. My perspective of myself and my own experience with Jesus is much different than his perspective of me with his son. Does that make sense? So I am working through the vibrancy, the reality of what's going on inside of me with regularity. And it says in Philippians chapter 2 that there needs to be this seriousness, this fear, this trembling, this what it is, it's an evaluation. And far too often, church and spiritual leaders don't put us in a position to truly evaluate what's going on. Because what we make church about is bricks and mortar and money and attendance. Let's just keep it sweet. And I'm not any better. I have participated in that. I know what that feels like. And what we're trying to do is dig down and look at the Word of God and get some nutritional value. And it's not always easy. Because I can tell you that me going from this to beginning to change the nutrients that I put in my body and the way that I nourish my body, and me working toward physical health has been the same type of process of me working toward spiritual health. It takes time. And it's not fun. This tastes really good. This is amazing. I'm standing there this morning, I'm like, spicy Doritos for breakfast. That's a breakfast of champions. I may grab one of those. No, there's not another in my car. I'm just confessing that. They tasted, they hungered, and nourished their minds for spiritual growth and health. When you begin to change your intake regarding nutrition of all types, it eventually has an effect on your appetite. Let's stand and worship together.